Okay. Lord, I thank you for cooling it off here a little bit this afternoon. Thank you for the rain. We actually needed one. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for all the rain you're giving everywhere else that it is needed. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for a great night tonight with you, talking about your word, talking about the things that matter to you, Lord. And Father, we just ask for your anointing upon everyone here to participate. Tell us what you've been showing them, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you for this venue that you've given us, Lord, so we can come together in fellowship in one accord. Because we know when we're in one accord, things, supernatural things happen, Lord. We thank you for it. Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you for all that you're going to do tonight in this room. Father, we ask for your protection upon President Trump. Seems like I read the other day that there was 25 attempts on his life so far, but then there was another one just yesterday or the day before, so I'd make it 26. And Father, we thank you for keeping this man safe from all harm. Praise you, Father, for your supernatural protection upon him, his family, and the Patriots. Lord, we ask that you move upon his heart at the right moment and bring him in solid to the kingdom. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? How about a testimony or a praise report? Since everybody's all prayed up, that's good. All right, let's see. I'm on. Missy's about to have a fit. Go ahead, Claire. I'll get to you in a minute, Missy. I think Claire had her hand up before you did, though. I don't, for some reason, we can't hear you, Claire.
Hello? Can you
hear
me?
Yeah, now, yes, ma'am. We can hear you now.
Ah, good. Tabitha woke up this morning with these red welts all over her body, and it was the weirdest thing. And Rian just prayed for her, and she's awesome. Like, she's fine. She's no itches, nothing. She's fine. It's amazing. Just a quick deliverance, quick healing just for her. It's wonderful. God is good.
You're muted, Michael.
Well, I was telling Missy to go on. That's what I wanted to be, is Missy was muted. Boy, she's about to bust over here. You better tell about that baby girl.
Hey, everybody. I became a grandmother yesterday, and Brooke ended up having to have a cesarean, unfortunately. We're really praying against that, but I don't, you know, it's one thing is you don't understand, you know, why things happen sometimes, and only the Lord knows. Brooke and Blake, the baby, are doing great. And as of now, it looks like they're going to go home on Thursday. So I'll be probably leaving in the morning Thursday to go down, stay with them for a while. But if I could, I would like to share a few pictures to everybody. I'm going to have to get a little, you know how they had, when my boys were little, they had these little, what they call brag books. They're little, tiny little picture books, you know. And, but I guess my brag book is my cell phone, because that's where all my pictures are. But anyway, I can't share. You won't let me, Michael.
That's right. Just a minute. Let me get you going here. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Well, that's a nice picture. It must be in a dark room.
That one Brooke sent me today.
Which one?
What's that?
We're not seeing anything.
You don't see anything?
Uh-uh.
I'm sharing.
Okay. That's weird. You can't see nothing.
We're seeing
it. We can see it. We can see it.
We're seeing it out here, Michael.
I can see it.
Yeah, I can
Y'all
see it.
Y'all can see it?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Wow.
I can see myself now.
You saw pictures this morning, Michael.
Okay. Well, now I see Kurt.
Oh, there Blake. We go. Yeah, this is Kurt and Blake. That's something I saw today in my ride. There's Blake. Now, it's just a little bit too much there, so I kind of had to fix it a little bit. Okay. Anyway.
Is she doing okay?
Really, what's that?
Is Mama doing okay?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him today or anything, but I think so. This was a screenshot. I asked Kurt if we could do a video call, so I did a screenshot there. Isn't she sweet?
Yeah.
Here, Kurt must have. Got to hold her before they completely cleaned her up, because if you could see closer, her face has some white stuff on it. Whoop, that one you weren't supposed to see. But anyway, so that's my Sharon.
Okay.
Oh, geez. Trying to figure out how to get back to Zoom.
Stop share. There you go. You did it.
There we go. But she was 6 pounds, 15 ounces, 19 and 7/8. And I'm like thinking, how do you get 7/8 with a squirmy baby? But anyway.
They had it stretched out on the stretch board, I guess.
And she was born at 11:08 in the morning. That's my first grandbaby.
Yeah.
Lake Rebecca. So that's my praise report and boast.
So how long were they at the hospital in labor going through all that?
Well, they induced her. And she was, okay, they induced her almost 2 days before she was actually born. They induced her at 12:30 on Saturday is when, I guess Brooke texted me, 12:30 on Saturday. And then she was born at 11:08 in the morning yesterday. So that's almost 2 whole days. So anyway, they were trying to avoid a cesarean because Brooke's blood pressure was high, even though she wasn't what they call it. But anyway, so just couldn't get her to dilate and things going. And then they said that the baby's heart rate once they broke the water. And they put a monitor, they do a little thing on their head as a monitor for the heartbeat. And her heartbeat wasn't fluctuating. And apparently that's not a good thing. I was curious about it as to why, and I looked it up, and they said that that if, you know, if they're not active, they may not be getting the blood supply they need. Or something like that. So not the blood supply, but air supply or something. I don't know. But anyway, everything's fine. Thank you, well, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. In spite of man's attempts to play God, the baby's okay.
Yep.
I wonder, and I'm just thinking out loud here, what would have happened if they just left her alone? She'd have had the baby, wouldn't she? Sometime down the road.
The Lord was telling me, you know, that that, you know, their faith isn't there to believe in anything but the doctors. And basically, my prayers for things to be different other than for the Lord's protection on her and the baby were futile. Basically, I feel like that's what the Lord was telling me, you know. So.
Well, that's where, like you said, that's where faith is. Praise God, everything's okay.
Right.
Got a hole in her stomach. More than anything.
Yeah, my prayers more than anything were just that everything would, you know, what the Lord answered was that everything turned out fine. You know, the baby's fine and she's fine. And
amen.
She's got this big incision in her belly. But just, Lord, we just pray that you heal her up very quickly in Jesus' name.
Amen. And I have a question about
that?
The cesarean. Was it a vertical or a horizontal cut?
Beats me. I don't know. I didn't ask.
Okay. I think they do horizontals now, but they used to do verticals. Go ahead, Marilyn.
I was just going to say what you said. You know, they used to do them vertically, but I think they're all done horizontally now.
You know why? I can tell you why.
Bikini. Huh? If a girl wants to, if they want to wear a bikini, it won't be seen as easily.
Well, I don't think so. I think the problem with the vertical, is that they cut the muscles across grain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, they have problems, like my wife did. So they cut her vertically on my last child. And it messed her up for a long time. But I understand they do it horizontally now, which is good. I mean, that's only makes sense to me. Anyway, thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to do that anymore.
Yep.
We can watch grandbabies come out.
Well, Lord, I just ask you to give me the grace to be a blessing, Lord, when I go and stay with them and help them, Lord. And just to let you shine out of me and just to be led by you the whole time and just to be weak to the weak and just give me much wisdom, Lord. And I ask you and thank you for a joyous time with them while I'm with them, Lord. And like I said, Lord, heal Brooke up real quickly, get her back on her feet, strengthen her up, Lord, strengthen their stomach muscles to be stronger than what they were before in Jesus' name. And that, Lord, Brooke lose all the weight and more, Lord, because I know she was working on losing weight before and all, and I know she probably would like to get down thinner, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for helping her to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead, Lana and Phil.
Hey, I just wanted to ask for prayer. My sister is 7-8 months pregnant. She's sick. She tested negative for COVID, went back in to the ER because I guess she got worse, and they confirmed that she has COVID. So I'd just like to say a prayer for her and the baby and the dad that the Lord take them through this and his will be done. They're Christians, but I wouldn't necessarily call them believers, just like the rest of my family. So I hope the Lord can open up their eyes to what kind of times we're living in and draw them closer to himself and protect, once again, the mom's health and the baby's health.
All right, go ahead. We'll believe with you.
Father God, I bring Jennifer to you and her baby and Joseph. She followed what she believed and went to the hospital and tested positive for COVID, even though it was a negative the first time, Lord. I ask that you take her through this and work in her life and her husband's life to open up their eyes to the times that we are living in and put it in her heart to search out your truth and seek your face so that they may learn to become true believers of your word, Father God. I ask that your hand of protection be over Jen and the unborn baby so that they can get through this and come out with a healthy baby and a happy family in the end. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just break the power of Satan over her and on Jennifer right now in the name of Jesus. We command that COVID to go from her in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you're going to show her it was you that got rid of it, not man. Father, we thank you for that. Open her eyes up to the truth of the gospel, the real gospel. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for the work you're doing in people all across this nation, Lord, that are in fear, Lord. We just see so much fear out there. Wear the mask. If you wear the mask, you'll be okay. Baloney. Lord, we just thank you and we just praise you for freedom as a child and believer of yours, Lord. We don't have to worry about any of that. We know that we're in the palms of your hand. Not only that, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that curse can't alight on us in any way, fashion, or form. Because we're a believer of yours, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Hey, Michael.
Okay. Yeah, Leo.
Hey, since we're on this prayer streak for babies, can y'all pray for my wife? She's 16 weeks pregnant. And it's only our fifth, so...
But, praise the Lord. He's going for the baseball team.
Yeah. Just want everything to go really well. She's been nauseous a lot, and it's kind of rough because we're a homeschool family, and I work all the time, and so she's on her own here with all the other kids and Josiah and everybody, so she needs the extra supernatural support.
Okay. You want me to pray, or you want to pray, and we'll believe with you.
Can you pray right now? I'm kind of feeding Josiah.
Oh,
right
yeah.
In the middle of it.
Yeah, sure can. Right. Lord, we lift up your leader to you, and we thank you, Father, for her heart for you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to infuse her with supernatural energy, strength, and we thank you, Father, for a complete deliverance from any kind of attack of the enemy in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that your warrior angels are around about her while Leo is gone, and that you protected her from any kind of attack from the enemy in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for putting peace in her heart, that you are in control and she doesn't have to worry about anything. Thank you, Lord, for putting peace in Josiah's heart too. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now in the Galchenko family. In Jesus' name, praise you, Father. Ooh, my. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. That's a done deal. That's a done deal. How many of you know that when we pray and we believe, we get our prayers answered? Amen. Thank you, Lord. I just believe it. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anyone else? Go ahead, George.
I just want to add to your prayers for them and Father, for their children, their older children, to be self-initiating homeschoolers, that they'll grab their books, they'll dive in and read and lead, and there'll be such peace and ease for that mother that she can truly give as much time as she wants to each child in her own time, and as the Lord just creates an atmosphere of peace in that home, that her husband can know that he's going out to face the world with God, keeping his home in perfect peace. And Father, I thank you for extraordinary children, and that the commitment that this family has to honor you, to teach their children, that you're in every moment of this situation, Father. And I thank you for a peaceful pregnancy and strong growth, and just a wonderful report for every, and a testimony for everyone that would speak doubt and unbelief on how would you have a big family in these days, that there would be a double portion of peace for every tongue that tries to sow doubt into this family, that there would be even more confirmation from the Lord that you all are doing the right thing, and that God has totally got you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good prayer for that family. I believe it's happening. Okay, anyone else? All right, Pat McKnight, come forth. Hey, would you explain what you sent me about Philippians 3:12-15, and possibly tell us what's going on there? That's a good one.
Yeah, the Lord has had me in this the concept of studying about the concept of perfection and its use in the scripture. And I know that in that a few months ago he put this this thought on my mind about the second time and the I guess the principle or the use of the, you know, the concept the second time through the scriptures. And there's a lot, you know, a lot of different examples or applications the second time Esau and Jacob, and you know, which I don't want to go, you know, I'm not prepared to go through that list of stuff, but there's the firstborn, the secondborn, the born again experience with the old man, which was the first, the new man in Christ is the second. And so there's this, I think this a concept of perfection or perfect or being, the word itself means complete. And so there was a lot of different scriptures related to that concept. One that kind of started me off in the thinking process, I guess you might say, was in Hebrews 10:14, it said, obviously the whole chapter is good, but he says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So there appears in the scripture to be a I'm going to say a maturing or a an entering into a rest, or if you've listened to the David's message this weekend about the sons of God, it kind of opened up a whole new thinking and to the same concept, and that is the child versus the son and that whole process. But so I was and the way I had begun to think about it is that there's an aspect of we coming to Christ, receive Christ, turn our lives over, we go through a discipleship, we enter into discipleship where we move into the wilderness experience with God, and he opens up our eyes to the benefits of his word, the promises, and at the same time we start to begin to become aware of the inner struggle that we probably never knew we had before, and that the struggle from within, where we start to see that not only is there a battle going on the outside, a spiritual battle going on the outside, but there's also this temptation of a spiritual battle happening on the inside. And I believe through the scripture that God teaches of a process of growing, maturing, and then there is a place of entering into what the Lord calls perfect or complete. And so that's the general theme of, I think, what the Lord has had me on probably for 6 months or a year, thinking in those general terms. There's a couple schools of thought about it. I don't know if I'm tracking off here, but there's a couple schools of thought about it, and that is one that we grow or mature into this place of perfectness that God calls perfect. And it comes through a sequence of events, a sequence of time, maturing, walking in the Word, and it's kind of the white dog and the black dog concept. Feed the white dog more, the black dog, gets pushed down. And then there's some that feel like this perfectness or peace or rest comes through a moment of time and faith. And I think I've kind of settled on the conclusion that it's both. But anyway, so that being said, I was reading the other day through this scripture, and it's in Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 12. And this is Paul talking to, obviously, the Philippians. And I started in the verse. In verse 15, it says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God will reveal this unto you. And so I was looking at that and realizing that Paul was speaking to the Philippians, that he placed himself in that group or that place of being perfect when he said, let us therefore as many as be perfect. And he's speaking to the Philippians as being part of the us, as many those that be perfect. So there obviously is this place that God describes as perfect or complete. So he said, let us therefore as many be perfect. And so I looked up the few verses up above that to see why he was, you know, as they say, what is the therefore, therefore? And so I popped up to verse 12, and it says, not though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that which I may apprehend, that for which I also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. So it looks like Paul is saying in that verse that he hasn't attained that state or that place of perfectness. He says, not that I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that which I may apprehend. In verse 13, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in God, of God in Christ Jesus. Then he says, let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal them unto you. So I sent that to Michael because just as a point of discussion, because to me, it almost appears that there's a contradiction there. In verse 12, he says, I don't count myself or am I perfect? But in verse 15, he says, as many of us as are perfect. So I believe that there are no contradictions in the word, especially not four verses apart. So I'm just, I throw it out as a point of discussion, if anybody has any ideas why it appears to be contradictory there, or even if it does appear to be contradictory. So that was what I was thinking.
All right, anybody got any thoughts on that? Go ahead, Dave.
In that. All right. So let's see. Not that I have already attained or am made perfect, but I press on as if it's so, that I may take hold of that of which also I have taken hold of by Christ. Well, that's he's walking by faith for perfection there. He's seeing the Christ in the mirror, and he's walking by faith to obtain, to lay hold of Christ Jesus. That's our walk. That's what we're coming into the image of, is Jesus Christ. As true Christians, that's what our goal is. We see Christ in the mirror. Beholding Christ in the mirror, coming in his image, glory by glory. Well, that's the glory by glory. It's not at one time, but it's glory by glory. It's overcoming in a little bit of time here and there. So he's saying here, not that I've already obtained. He doesn't see himself completely manifested as Christ yet, 100%, 100-fold fruit. right? That's to manifest Christ. He doesn't see. He's being realistic about it. For anybody to say, I am Christ, I am 100% Christ, that's there's something there that probably isn't right, right? If somebody goes around and tells them, no, if they say they see Jesus Christ in the mirror, and my hope of glory is become as he is and walk as he is, that's another story. But to say they fully manifested, it's a big leap. You know, maybe the man child will be there. But even then, we'll see a humility. And Jesus was humble. You know, even though he was God's son, he didn't go out and try to prove to everybody who he was. He tried to take the back seat. God's the one who put him up front and glorified him. He didn't glorify himself. But he does go on to say, which was really good. He says, brother, I do not regard myself as yet having taken hold. He's talking about perfection in Christ, right? We're talking about having manifested Christ. But one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, because you can't focus on the things behind, because that's gonna drag you down. That's going to look at the old man. You can't look at the old man in the past to see perfection happen. You have to constantly be looking forward and seeing Jesus in the mirror. You got to be looking at the end in view in order to have that perfection manifested in you. That's the faith walk. You have to have the end in view, the imagination. So, but looking in the back in the mirror is just going to drag you back down. You're going to see your failures. Not that we can't do it for to realize, hey, this is where I was, but look how great what the Lord's done for me now. You can do those kind of contrasts. That's fine. But you're looking at your past for your past mistakes and feel like you're not going anywhere. That's what Satan does. He reminds you of your failures. And he wants to drag you down. He wants you to feel condemnation. We don't want to go there. That's not what coming into him with Jesus Christ is about. But he says, I press on, in 14, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. He's seeing Jesus in the mirror. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect. That's the statement of faith. He just said, I am perfected in Christ. In Hebrews 10:14, it says that you have been perfected by one offering. Christ perfected you at the cross. Them that are sanctified. Well, one offering is perfected, them that are sanctified. So we're taking that statement by faith, and we're going what God said he did to us. We're going on a promise now by faith and seeing it in the mirror. We're saying, it's been done. I believe it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but God's going to manifest it. You have to make that statement by faith and walk with that. Now you can realistically look and say, I don't think I'm perfected yet, but by faith I am. I'm walking by faith, and that's what he said here. He says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, think this way. Now it's walking in faith. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. If there's something else that you need that over time in order to walk more in that light of Christ, the Lord's going to reveal it to you and make you open up that more and more light that you need to walk in. He's only give you what light you have to walk in now that you understand by knowledge and by grace, because you've been saved. By grace, you have been saved through faith. Part of that salvation process is perfection, sanctification. It's not just letting go of the sins in a sin nature, which is part of the sanctification process, because we're no longer under the sin's dominion. It's being able to walk and think that we are walking by faith in Christ as in being perfected. And so he's saying, if you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. If there's something else that you need to be working on, God's going to pull it out and perfect you, because he's going to finish that work, what he started. We just have to believe God for that too. I just wonder. I'll put that out there if somebody else wants to add to or take away.
Can I ask you a question? So, when he says, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect.
As are.
Be the,
yep.
be thus minded.
Yep.
And the thus minded he's talking about is counting yourself as not perfect. Is that correct?
It says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, think this way. Is it your honor 3:15?
Think this way. Think what way? Think the way that, brethren, I count it myself not to have apprehended?
As many as are perfect, think this way. You think you're supposed to know that you've been perfected by Christ. By one offering, he perfected you. Let's go to Hebrews 10:14.
He says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, like Dave was talking about. That's what he's talking about now. He's doing it by faith. As are minded. Be thus minded. Go ahead and think that away.
Yeah. That's perfection. Now, you have to think by faith. You have to agree with the word for it to happen. That's what he's doing. He's walking in agreement. How can two walk to agreement? Walk together you have to be walking in agreement. What is that? Amos 3:4, something like that. How can two walk together unless they agree? That's what he's doing. He's walking in agreement with God now. Go ahead, Andrew. I think you're trying to throw your hand up.
Well, Judy had her hand up first.
See, I'm sorry.
It's all right. Hang on, Andy. We'll get to you in a minute. Go ahead, Judy.
I just wanted to add that we're supposed to see the fruit of Christ as the perfection. Just as he is, so are we in this world. He perfected us. We're supposed to, just like Gabe or and Michael were saying, we're supposed to accept it right up front. Like in the parable of the sower, you know, those four types of soil. And the fourth type was the seed that was sown on the good ground. He is that hear the word of God and understandeth it, and verily beareth forth fruit, bringing forth some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. We're supposed to accept it right up front. I'm going to bear 100-fold fruit because Christ is going to do it in me, because he already says it's mine. All the promises he says are mine. Doesn't matter what it is, it's mine. I'm claiming it, and my faith is accounted unto me as righteousness, holiness. He sees it. That's what he sees. What I, you know, he hasn't manifested it in me yet 100-fold, but that's what I'm going to believe for, because he says it's mine. That's what perfection is. It's coming into the fullness of Christ. Whatever seed, David has said this, like the seed has the ability to, if you plant a seed in the ground, what do you get? You're going to get the plant. You're going to get that full fruit. You're going to get it. As long as you hold on to your faith, you're going to get that whole, that fruit's going to bear to, you know, fullness. It's going to be ripe, juicy fruit. It's going to be a really great apple tree, pear tree, whatever. It's going to produce the fruit because the seed's already there. It just has to be watered. It has to be, you know, it's like the fig tree, you know, you dung it and you do what you have to do to get it to bear fruit, but it's going to bear fruit. And we have to accept it by faith right up front, 100-fold fruit, perfection. It's the same thing. It's the fullness of Christ.
Go ahead, Andy.
Amen.
It's cherry tree. It was cherry tree.
I like peaches. Go ahead, Andy.
There is one thing, you know, some people think this is a race too, you know, like they want to gain the best clothing they can possibly have, the best crown they can possibly have. But I would remind my brethren that, Jesus taught his apostles about benefactors and that you're all equal. So I don't really think that's going to be an issue when you get to heaven, like you think it's an issue here on earth. You know, because if it's the Lord's work, you know, and he's doing it all, then you have to realize that your perfection comes at salvation, and it increases. Because just like a newborn baby gets born, everyone thinks it's perfect. and you get to be older, and you get a different definition than I think from my Lord for this perfection. So I think that has to have a major thing there too, because you know, I used to have a friend that he was really zealous to try and save a whole bunch of people so that he can picture himself with this big beautiful crown when he gets to heaven, eh? But it's the Lord doing that through you, so it's really all his perfection anyway. And who knows what happens after we throw the crowns down before the Lord? Does he keep them? So I don't know about that anyway. But I will remind you though that at the beginning of this chapter, he's telling you to look out for the ones who cause faction and division. It's that word, concession. It's I have a definition here. It's originally a cutting off, a division, or a faction. So I think maybe he may have been even referring to Jews there for this time, not for our time, because there are people like that in our time. And he's also going into the faith thing, you know, and be found in him not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith, you know. We mentioned the factor of faith. By faith, you were perfected. And one of the first verses that came to my mind, because I used to memorize a lot of verses from the King James, was that one in 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It doesn't have that perfect word in there, but you also mentioned that word I'm trying to see it here, you know, I'm still going through this I thing. Yeah. Well, it was that other word you used for perfection.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, to you.
Complete?
Complete. Yeah, it says complete instead of perfection in the numeric one. Complete. So, but you know, when I have a word that I don't understand, I don't really like looking in the dictionary to look it up. And I'm just trying to look for this piece of paper that I just recently done on a word search. Oh, I wish I could find it. Anyways, I did a paper on the word, oh boy, I can't find it now. I can't find this. I did a kind of a word search on expedient, because that was a word, but I'm gonna probably do it with perfect also, where you just go into your concordance and you write every single verse that has to do with it, and you might find some really good nuggets there for you to have. Yeah, so anyways, the where it starts here in chapter 3, I think he's giving a warning to the people here. And there's other places where he does the same thing in First Thessalonians, where they actually suffer for them from their own countrymen, and it goes off to him saying this is what is supposed to happen to you, and it's for your perfection. And of course, you know, the verse there that actually tells you here that God will reveal what needs to be done in you. Fathers do this all the time. You've had a father. They're always trying to make you perfect, your earthly father. So I'm sure our heavenly father does that very well. And of course, he's going to do this by the Holy Spirit. And that verse everyone likes in John 14:26, you know, where he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name, is going to teach you all things and remind you of everything he taught you. So, you know, don't be afraid if that verse just pops into your head from the Lord, you know, so that whatever thing he puts in your mind, and you share, and, you know, like you said, the first and the last, you know, I can see how that's very applicable for the time we're in right now. So, yeah, you know, he might even lead you on another tangent too. So sometimes where you can gain some information and then bring it back to what you have, you know, till he finally will settle this for you and he'll put you on something else. Because I'm sure everyone gets that. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. All right, Julie.
Hey, Patrick, if you go back to the first chapter in Philippians and verse 6, where it says, and I am sure, I am confident, whatever version you're reading from, but I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion unto the day of Jesus Christ. And he's the one that's going to do that. And then if you go down in verse 9, it says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness which come through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Again, it's just more of the same kind of completion, and that we be found, when he comes, we'll be found blameless, spotless, you know, being able to see him and look at him, because as he is, so are we in this world, because we are just like him. He just wants our faith. He's already doing the work. He just wants our faith and to hold on to that, fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold of life eternal. And that life is Christ and everything that he has promised us, everything. Just claim it. It's yours. He gave it to you. He gave it to you. He already perfected you. He already completed everything he's going to do. And he's the one that began the work, and he's the one that's going to complete it. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He gets all the glory. He gets all the credit. Amen.
Amen. Also, Paul talks about it in Colossians. You can go to Colossians chapter 1. I'll start out in 21. And you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind, in your evil works. All right, here comes a kicker. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that ye continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. He's talking about the same thing. It's all by faith. We walk in this thing by faith. We go from glory to glory, like David was talking about, by faith. And like Andrew was talking about, and somebody else was talking about it, I believe. It's all by faith. We go from glory to glory by faith. And there's plenty more. Okay. Yeah, Denny.
seemed to me as I go through this that the struggle that Paul was mentioning was the difference between relying on himself in the law or having faith in Christ. Because up earlier where the first, you know, said that he had, I'll read up in verse 3. For we are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And when you, then he gives, lists some of the things that he, why he's saying that. So that the struggle he seems to be implying is getting victory over this. Okay, then down in verse 8. Indeed, I count everything loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and commit them.
I'm sorry.
And count them, as refuge in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law. Here's the struggle he's seems to be battling with. He could have confidence in his own flesh because of what he's done and who he is and everything. But he wants to have, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And he goes on to say what that faith, the proper faith, would gain him, knowing him and the power of his resurrection. But I see the struggle that, because a lot of people will say, well, yeah, look at Paul wasn't perfect, so how can anyone else be perfect? You know, and you know, what do we say to that? You know, you would think that Paul, if anything, with all his knowledge and an anointing he had and everything, would be perfect. But, you know, maybe God didn't want him to be pointed out as being perfect, so that we always have to look to Christ, you know, not some other, not any other person, just Jesus, you know. But anyway, I don't think he necessarily battled with a sin life and stuff like that. Well, I don't think it gives anyone else an excuse to say, well, I can't be perfect because Paul wasn't perfect. When, you know, he's sharing here, I think the struggle he was having of overcoming a reliance on the law or upon himself being, you know, a pretty good performer instead of relying on faith in Christ alone. So, anyway. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Dave.
I think where you were stopped too is good, because if you continue, I think you stopped at Colossians 1:23. It says, if, and I'm reading from the numerics because it's really good, because he's got strong words in the numerics. If so that you continue to faith, he said, if grounded steadfast and not move away from the hope of the calling of the gospel, which you heard preached in all creation under the heaven, whereof of I, Paul, became a minister. But then he says in 1:28, he says, I put that in the wrong place. I'll get to 1:28. Now he goes on to talk about rejoicing his sufferings in 24. Now I rejoice my sufferings for you and filled up my part, which is lacking in the affliction of Christ in my body for his, in my flesh for his body, which is in the church. he goes on to say, wherefore I became a minister according to the dispensation of God given to me towards to fulfill the word of God, the mystery hid from the ages, from generations, but has now been manifested to saints. This is the mystery that he's talking about. We're talking about this perfection in Christ, the ministry. That we're talking about, this was the gospel. This was the intent of the gospel, the good news, which nothing else had in prior to all revelation in the scripture was revealing. This mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we proclaim, admonishing every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. So this perfection, this righteousness, this blessing we've got through this new covenant relationship we have with God doesn't stop with the forgiveness of sins, because they had that with the Old Testament. They had forgiveness of sins. Everybody thinks, well, I've got forgiveness of sins in Christ. Well, they had that in the Old Testament. I said, what was the difference? What changed? What was so wonderful about this covenant that we needed that the old covenant couldn't give you? That was righteousness in Christ. We've got righteousness in Christ. We got perfection in Christ. They didn't have that. That without that, nobody is ever going to enter heaven. If you don't have this righteousness of Christ, this perfection of Christ, this fruit of Christ, this manifestation of Christ in your life, you're not coming in the image of what God wants. He wants us to become sons of God, and that son of God is the image of Christ. And we have to do that by faith for God, and we have to have faith in God to do that for us so that we can manifest that. He will manifest that in us, but we have to have that faith. That's the difficulty people have a problem with. That's why so many people fall away from this. They have a hard time trying to put that in their mind and focus on that and believe that's the gospel. That's the message. That's the wonderfulness of our new covenant, is putting on Christ, walking in Christ. The old man died. Our old man died. We're no longer us that live. It's Christ that lives in us. Putting on that garment of Jesus Christ. That wedding garment, that's the wedding garment we're putting on, that they could not put on in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, that they didn't have an ability to put on in the Old Covenant. But now we do. That's the promise we have. That's the mystery that we have that was not fulfilled until after Christ came. And so, and that's a mystery even to the church today. Many in the church today, they still think they just have forgiveness of sins and they're going to just go on and living life and be a sinner saved by grace. Well, no, no, no. That's not the gospel. That's not the good news.
Michael.
Yeah, hang on just a second. Andy's got his hand up just a minute. I'll get right back to you. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just going to remind you guys on Mordecai and the chamberlain and what he's supposed to represent, and how Esther said, no, whatever he supplies my chamberlain for me, that would be good enough. And that's the Holy Spirit right there. So that's what you will get because of the verses of the Holy Spirit, you know, about, 14:26, the one I just quoted there, and all the other, he's there to supply all your needs. The Holy Spirit's there. You know, he's called it the Ekperun. Now he's going to send it forth out. Sometimes people get into this mindset, I think the Lord's forgetting about me or something, you know. And that's just someone playing tricks on me, you know. And you know what that is. And even today, you know, like I went to work Monday and Tuesday, which is kind of a record for me. On Monday, I got all my work done, and then she wanted me to do someone else's job to do, my foreman asked me to do some deliveries, but I didn't have the right golf cart to go through all the tunnels to do these deliveries, to actually load it up with 9 boxes and then do 2 trips and put the, would you put the boxes on the dolly cart? So, and plus it's COVID-19, all the different buildings in the university are closed. Take the delivery, you know? So, as I was going home early, because my work was done, my boss phones me and says to me, Andrew, you forgot to do something when you were here. I guess you didn't see these books. You had to bind them. There's 6 of them. And then I thought in my head, why would she send me in just to do 6 books? You know, you can do that like for nothing, eh? And then I said, oh, I'll be in right away tomorrow, the next day. And she said, okay, Andrew. And I thought, you know, in my mind, immediately the one who plays tricks on you, that she's angry with me because I didn't do the delivery that you know, at least the one big job that had like 12 boxes of stuff that had to be sent over to housing. And so I went in and I did the 6 books, you know, and then I was there, you know, like, well, that was a good half hour for coming in. It took me longer to go in than to do these 6 books. And then I said, maybe she is angry with me. And of course, I'm the first one in. I open up the place and I'm thinking this all night, you know. And it turns out nothing like this was happening. That was in my mind. And how many other times this is happening to me, you know, where I thought I was going to be in the worst trouble ever. And I walk in and, you know, I'm praying for favor and everything, you know, but this didn't even enter into their minds at all. And I'm going, man, I'm just worrying about too much, you know, and the Lord takes care of things like that, I guess, actually as they're happening even sometimes. But, you know, that tempter comes in and tries to give you a whole ball of wax that you're not even supposed to have. I'm just glad I'm not a boss. And because you have to give grace, and oh boy, you need good discernment for that. I especially like, there's more construction workers now on campus than anyone else. And I was just thinking of that when I said that. It was directed at you, Pat, because I know you have a high position where you hear people around. And I'm going, how does he do it? You know? And but I'm sure you try to be like one of the guys anyway. So anyway, you know, I hope you get pizza days or something anyway.
All right, so go ahead.
I appreciate all this, this speaking about the sons of God, you know, and a lot of times when we get in these scriptures, I end up going back to Genesis 1:26, you know, God saying, let us make man in our image after our likeness, you know, and how Adam fell and how man could not take any more tree, you know, the tree of life. And I just appreciate how much, you know, that if the Lord keeps pointing that to me, that this is what he wants. He wants us to eat of the tree of life. He wanted that from the very beginning. And Jesus made the way for us to be able to eat of the tree of life so we can become sons. That's just, you know, just I just get blessed when that happens. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What you got, Judy? Okay. All right. Good deal. All right. Anybody else? What do you think, Pat?
Well, I'm enjoying it. I'm listening.
Okay.
I'll give a little, I don't know if it's a testimony or a failure or probably both, but interesting thing about a couple weeks ago, I think, was it last week we had the storm and it knocked our power out. So, but the weekend before that, I had an interesting experience. I was mowing the lawn, and this was kind of a supplement to this concept of perfect and complete in Christ, and that I was thinking about. Anyway, the thing happened as I was mowing the lawn, and I drove by a section of the fence, and it had poison ivy on it. And I didn't think about it at the time. I mean, I didn't see it. But anyway, so I drove by it, and as my arm brushed against it, and I looked at it and said, oh, that's poison ivy. And I cast it down and just kept on going and mowed the lawn or whatever. And then a couple days later, day later or something like that, guess what happened? Poison ivy started showing up on my arm. So I can, and this is obviously contrary to what the Lord just took me through, what, a month ago? And so I started casting it down, the name of Jesus. I've already been healed according to your word, etc. And it got worse, and it could you tell it was starting to get worse and worse and worse. And I was starting to go through the same spiral type of thing, a downward spiral, you might say. And the Lord took me through a thinking process there. It took me through that somewhere along the line, I let that thought come in. What, there was something there. There was that thought about poison ivy, and you know, I always get this, and I'm going to, or whatever. I don't know what it was. I don't consciously remember thinking it. But whatever it was a dart that the devil tossed at me, and it fell to the ground, but it found fertile soil somewhere in that old man that's dead. Now, I can't explain that. I don't understand that. But even though I was fighting on this level, there was a battle happening down here at my heels at this other level. And it was like the Lord showed me that I was fighting a battle of appearances from without, on the outside, yet I had something nipping at my heels that it found a comfortable place in my life, in my awareness, whatever it is, found a comfortable place there that it could post and start nipping at my heels and throwing doubt and fear or whatever it is in there through the backside. So I had two battles going. I had one going out on the outside and one going on the inside. And then there's other things that happened after that, and it really the story deteriorated and got worse. But the Lord gave me the victory through the process, and in the process healed this reoccurrence of poison ivy again. Didn't get as bad as it did before, and was able to overcome it through the Lord. But this is what set me down this whole path of thinking is, so, you know, where is the problem here? What's happening here that this thing finds fertile ground or in a doubt or creates a doubt or whatever, or that in my soul there, is there something that's in there? that hasn't happened. And so I start going through all these mind games and thinking and everything. And that's why I have to come back and think that, is there a place and a position of perfectness or completeness in Christ, in that place where God has taken away that sin nature or that lower level, whatever that is, sin nature or whatever. He has taken it away manifestly as he has by faith. And is that place of perfection or perfectness or completeness in Christ? And as a result of that, will I one day, and I believe I will one day, no longer fight a battle nipping at my heels as well as the battle outside, but I will be focused totally on the battle going outside, because that which is, it has been taken away in me. So I don't know if I'm making sense or whatever, but there it is. That's the battle of perfectness.
All right, go ahead, Julie.
Hey, Pat, maybe this can help. I understand what you're saying. When the Lord has allowed me to go through repeated trials, we'll just call them, it's like the same thing. The symptoms keep manifesting. And the Lord was showing me that it is overcoming. For me, it was like overcoming doubt and walking by sight. And that I just kept, like you do, just keep casting it down. You just keep casting it down, and it is a process of it's a process of overcoming what the fleshy part. Like, it's just not gonna, you're gonna come across that poison ivy again, possibly, and you might see it and recognize it and just go, well, I ain't receiving that in Jesus' name, and it's not gonna affect you, and you won't get it because you're not allergic to it. You can say that, I'm not allergic to poison ivy. It doesn't affect me that way. Whatever sword you use you're going to use it, and with it, you're going to fight, and you're going to win, and you're going to overcome. It's not going to affect you. And what the Lord was showing me is that you just keep, whatever it is, you just keep fighting against it, and eventually the temptation is not going to be there anymore. And whatever purpose God has in all of that, I don't fully know yet, except that it is overcoming the flesh and overcoming walking by sight. And whatever it's doing inside of me, when I have to keep going through that, like, it, you know, I would get frustrated. I would get, why is this back here? Okay, well, if I'm asking why, I'm walking by sight in place of, like, I rebuke you. I'm not receiving this in Jesus' name, and not even thinking about it. It's just it's a reaction. It's just a growth thing, is how I see it. It's nothing, anything, you're not doing anything wrong. Yeah, I've gone through stuff and it got worse and then it kept coming back and it kept getting worse. I'm like, and I would just keep hearing the Lord say, I won't fail you. You just keep standing, you keep fighting. So that's, I hope that rings true to your spirit. It's just a process of fighting the good fight and not accepting anything that is contrary to the word of God. Just don't accept it. Don't accept it. Cast it down, rebuke it, speak the word, command, do all those things you know to do. And like I said, you're going to come across poison ivy, and it's just, you're just going to look at that and go, you're just a weed and you don't touch me, you know, or whatever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I just have a statement here. I don't know if it has anything to do with the question posed, but, you know, when we first came, or when you remember you first came to UVM, you got lots of correction on doctrine, teaching. You got lots of correction on all these other things that you know was wrong in the denomination or denominations you were in. And it was so easy to accept, you know, a lot of it when we came here. At least with me it was, because I was in a very stressful time of my life. And it's so simple just to actually accept something when someone, first of all, leads you to this place, and which is remarkable, living in Canada, and I don't see any other Canadians here. And it's just, you know, I still can account for the first day, like, coming in, and he was given a lesson on the spiritual temple of God. And you're just raking it all in, you know, and you're actually understanding now that, oh, that temple that's supposed to be over there in Israel that they're going to build, it's never really going to happen. And even if it does, it doesn't matter. you just accept it so easily because you can, it's the spirit. And how come we just can't do that when it comes to something like what I just went through? You know, I was set up, you know, I feel like an idiot now. I was set up. I thought I was in trouble, you know. You get all these things going through your head, you know. Oh, man, I'm in trouble with the boss. and these setups, you know, and sometimes you just, you know, I got to ask the Lord just to tell me, you know, Andrew, you're going off on a tangent here. That's not even happening. and you shouldn't go off on these tangents with the other things too, you know. It's a word of God. You receive the instruction for other things. This should be the instruction for you too, you know. But it seems like you gotta, he kind of like repeats the thing, you know. It's almost like you're in grade school again and you're trying to remember these things. And you're there going, I'm, you know, 2 times 2 is 4. And you're reciting the 2 times table and you get your name on the big number 2 or the big number 5 and oh, I didn't get 9. Oh, I can tell you a trick for 9. And then you know the trick for 9 and then you get your name on the number 9 and then everyone's got their name eventually on all the numbers, you know, by the end of the school year. But anyways, Because the Lord puts you through these repeats of things, you know. Like this is probably my 3rd time where I thought something was going down, and nothing was going down. Sometimes, you know, like I thought something was going down with my daughter, and then I phone up, you know, and then nothing what I was thinking was happening, you know. You're going, why, you know, why am I lagging on this kind of stuff, you know? Mind you, though, I'm getting blessed by this COVID thing because I'm at home, getting lots of word in, and I love instruction, and I just want to obey. Why do people not want me to obey? Everyone around you doesn't want you to obey the Lord. They want you to obey them, and it's just so simple, you know. I don't think he wants to spank us for when we goof up like this. I think he's going to say, okay, let's do it again. And eventually, you know, why is he taking the long road to climb the mountain? Why does he just go straight up? You know, I remember praying to the Lord once when I had all these scripture verses a long time ago memorized in my head. And I just went, Lord, there's something wrong here. And he goes, well, what's wrong? And I just said, Lord, I want these words to be alive for me. And I was just wondering what happened in heaven, whether he fell off his throne. That's exactly it. These words are supposed to be alive for you. Oh, I remember that prayer. The Lord will make you remember some of these prayers. I'm telling you.
Amen. By the way, Pat, I had to, on the list that I had when I got here in Arkansas, was to clean out around the pump shed out there. I got a big pump shed around my well, and I had some poison ivy growing up on in vines all over the silly thing. It's a tin, just a tin building, and bushes growing up around it. So my job was to clean out around it, and I didn't know it was poison ivy, but just to be honest with you, poison ivy never has bothered me in the past. I've never had a problem with it. It just don't like me for whatever reason. And it's God, you know. But I went to ripping that stuff off, and I didn't realize it was poison ivy till I'd gotten about halfway through, you know. And I said, well, that's poison ivy. And I just went on pulling it on off. But here's what would happen the next day. I got an itch. I got an itch. I said, wait a minute. I'm not under the curse. You get out of here in the name of Jesus. And it went away. And the reason that I had victory over that is because I had victory over it before. You know, I've never had a problem with it, so it wasn't a big deal for me. And that's the way God wants it, us to be with every overcoming thing that we have to overcome. It's not a big deal. Just forget about it. Get yourself in the rest, you know. Now, there's other things that, don't get me wrong, there's other things that I have, like Julia was talking about, that keeps coming back around. And Andrew was talking about, it just keeps coming back around. And then you gotta deal with it at some point in time. And we finally get to that point to where we're just sick of it. We say, okay, you're gone from me in the name of Jesus. And I'm not messing with you now another time. So you go on, leave me alone, get out of here. And that's it. You finally get to that point to where you say, okay. And if it comes back around, you know, I've already cast you off of me. You ain't coming back. And that's when you fall into the rest, when you know that God's taking care of it. Yeah, Pat.
So, and I agree with what you're saying, that there's that, there's some sort of a transition that happens there, mm-hmm. and you enter into what you're saying is that rest. And the thing that hit me, the thing that I was thinking about of later, after while I was in the battle of this thing, is I remember the example that David gave when he broke his arm. Broke his arm for of the multiple times he's broken his arm and given a testimony. But this particular one, he had broken his arm, and he was at home, and he was out and back and helped the neighbors pick up trash or leaves or something like that. And he come up upon this log on the fire, or a log there, that he was going to toss on the fire. And the thought came to him, well, you can't touch that log. You can't pick up that log. Your arm will fall off or something. It's broken. And then the next thought came into his mind, and he said, well, if my arm is healed, I can pick that log up. And he reached down and picked the log up and threw it and manifested that healing right there. Boom. So the thought obviously came to me is, why wasn't that in me to say, oh, that's poison ivy. I don't get poison ivy anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm going to reach out and grab that poison ivy and rip it out and throw it out so it doesn't bother me anymore. And so, of course, my mind starts working. Why wasn't that in me to respond that way? And then, of course, I go into a whole spiral into depression, you know, woe is me type of thing, you know, that's kind of the next path. So And so that was the thought that I had. And sometimes I think listening to David's testimonies, I think I'm not sure that he understands the and realizes the grace that God has got on that in his life, because he dwells in that, it seems like, effortlessly.
Let me clue you in on something. I've been with him when he crushed his shoulder. He just stands and endures in the faith. Now, that doesn't mean that he questions God, doesn't question God. Why didn't this happen to me? Why? You know, is there something in my life that allowed this to happen? There's all the things that you go through, he's gone through it also. But he knows what the word says, and he stands on it beyond what we think or what we say, because he's got the word in him to the point to where the word matters more than what I think or what goes through my mind, you know. But I can tell you this, being with him through times of trouble, that he goes through the same process as we do. He just doesn't do it as long as we do, because the word is in him. He understands the word, and that's where we are. We're doing the same thing. You know, you're overcoming in other areas where other people are struggling. It's just a matter of, you know, God's working it out, and it's not a big deal. But to say that he dwells in God's grace, we all do, but we still have struggles. He says we're going to have trials and tribulations. And David goes through them, let me tell you, after living with him for 9 years. So.
Amen.
Okay. Did you have something else, Pat? Okay. Let's see what Leo's got. Go ahead, Leo.
Hey, I was just going to say that, you know, in all of our struggles and failures, as we are being hardened against sin and trials and temptations, in no wise does that diminish our perfection in God's eyes. You know, I believe that in this verse 15, where you questioned if there was a contradiction, where he says, "Let us therefore as many as are perfect," he states that we are all perfect, right? I believe that Paul is referring to our salvation experience when we are born in our spirit and God made us perfect. He sees us perfect by the sacrifice of Christ. But then before that verse, he's talking about, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself yet to have laid hold, or not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect," right? So there's like a contradiction. I believe he's actually referring to his soul experience. That's where, you know, he goes through the same trials that you, Pat, and I, and everybody goes through, where we, you know, attain the kingdom of God by force, where we wage war against temptations, against trials, against attacks of the wicked on our mind. But the fact remains that we are still perfect. In God's eyes, we are perfect because we are a born again, you know, born, a new creation, a new spirit. And that spirit cannot sin. It is not sin. It's not able to sin. And so flesh, right? They overcome the temptations of the flesh, the trials. And so that's where I believe you're having a hard time understanding perfection. How does that apply to you when you see yourself failing? And you know, Paul says that, you know, let us therefore as many as are perfect be thus minded. He's referring back to what he was talking about before, that yeah, we are perfect, but be minded that we're now, our goal is to attain that perfection in the soul, which is kind of a different matter. So this struggle that you're going through, the struggle that I'm going through on a daily basis,
That's just in our soul, because we have this goal to attain that perfection that looks just like the perfection in our spirit. And so we can be comforted in that, that no matter all these trials, they're made to make us come into that full image of Christ. And that should be encouraging to you. You know, even though you fail with the poison ivy test, you just get up and go to the Lord, say, Lord, I failed again, but you know, I accept this, you know, this challenge, this trial. And, you know, I believe that I'm just going to, you know, next time I'm going to do better with your grace, because I'm totally trusting you. And it doesn't have to be a war in our minds. You know, are we perfect? Does God still see us as perfect? No, of course he does. As long as we are believing, you know, that Christ is everything in us, through us, unto the glory of God, then we are perfect. That's just my little tidbit.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Some scriptures that really encourage me. It seems like I bring this out a lot here lately, because it's just this line, because it's just it's, to me, it's just so encouraging. In Hebrews 2:11, it says, "For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Okay, Jesus was made perfect through sufferings, and he was our forerunner. He went ahead of us and made the way. And then in Hebrews 5, let's say, starting at 7, "Who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the author of eternal salvation." So Jesus went through all these things, you know, one thing the Lord showed me, you know, like sometimes I think, oh my gosh, I'm glad I didn't have to go through what so-and-so went through, you know, oh, you know, but it's like, you know, the Lord tailor makes everybody's trials and tribulations just for them. Their sufferings, their trials or tribulations, because he knows what we need. And those are his his training us up, you know, his discipline and to us to perfect us. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And he was made perfect through the things which he suffered, by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, you know, so, you know, without him, we wouldn't, our flesh wouldn't be dealt with, our old man wouldn't be dealt with, our self wouldn't be dealt with, our selfishness wouldn't be dealt with. Because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, but righteousness, peace, and joy, and, you know, eating and drinking, you know, the things that we do in the flesh, you know, those things don't matter. But anyway, so I think all of us can say that there's things that we go through over and over and over. And with each time, you know, we learn something and we overcome. We don't fail as bad and we overcome a little bit more than we did the last time. But the thing of it is it's the Lord's grace. It's his grace. And, you know, even the trial is, and the tribulations are his grace. what was it Paul said? I'm pressed on every side, without a way out, but not utterly without a way out. You know, trying to think where that's at, but that just came to me. You know, it's, it's because he loves us and, you know, don't receive condemnation. Just, you know, okay, Lord, I failed. Forgive me. Help me to, you know, give me the grace to do better the next time. And, you know, like, look in his word, you know, where you're struggling at, you know, and find what applies to that, because it's only his word in us that makes him into himself, you know. So anyway, those are just things that the Lord's really helped me with to understand. It's been a great help to me.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. Here's a quote. I don't know who I got this from, but it's a good quote. I think it was Andy Murray that got me this one. But he says, God delights in his children stepping out over the aching void with nothing underneath their feet but the word of God. Think about that. God delights in his children stepping out over the aching void with nothing underneath their feet but the word of God. Ooh. That's what he wants us to stand on all the time. When it don't look like there's nothing between you and the ground but air, guess what? God's there. Amen. Yeah, Missy.
That made me think of, sorry if this is inappropriate, but I think it makes my point. It's not really in him. But anyway, it made me think of, I forget which one it was. It was the first or the second movie, The Raiders of the Lost Ark. And he goes through this rock tunnel or whatever, and he comes out to the edge, and there's this big gaping cavern, and he has to go to the other side where there's an opening on the other side. And he just puts his foot out. You know, it's kind of like when they went to go across the Jordan. They just stepped in the water and the Lord parted the water. But he put his foot out, and then there was an automatic stone, narrow stone bridge, I guess you could say, that went over to the other side. But when you were saying that, that's what it, and stone, you know, rock or whatever, you know, the word is, Jesus is the word, and he was representative of the rock. So anyway, that's kind of cool. That's what came to my mind, Michael, when you read that. Okay. You take that step of faith, mm-hmm. believing God's word, and he'll be that firm foundation for you to stand on. Cool, Lord, you're awesome. You know? Because it's only his word that, you know, gives us that foundation. We can build upon his word. He, you know, it's his word, just build upon.
Amen.
That's how he uses us to build, is with his word, himself. He is the rock.
Still found.
He's the firm foundation. The water. Amen.
Y'all remember that song. Go ahead, Lana.
I just wanted to share a word of encouragement. I had a rough week. I felt like I've failed God too many times in some of the tests that he's presented me with. And after struggling with a lot of self-condemnation over this and casting it down, I tend to find myself thinking about the fact that if the Lord is allowing me to go through all this, the failure, the condemnation, and he's teaching me to get back up using his word, that means he's working on me. And if he's working on me, that means eventually I'm going to pass the test. And if eventually I pass the test, that means I'm eventually going to be made perfect. And so that just lights up my whole heart. And it makes all these failures so much easier to go through, because I've noticed, as Missy mentioned, that every time I fail, I find that there's a little more that I've learned. And I start to discover that I actually have the strength through Christ to overcome some of these moments. And so it's just really encouraging to be reminded that the Lord is not only allowing this, but he wants this to happen in order to manifest that perfection in us.
Amen. And of course, everybody knows what Romans 8:28-29 said. That's something to bear in mind. Go ahead, Andrew.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Right now I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul is talking about he petitioned the Lord three times, and the Lord answered him, "My grace is sufficient for you." That's in verse, I think it's eight or nine, yeah. And from what was just said by the last speaker, okay, God is trying to give us something. He's trying to give us something for us to overcome. Because I'm trying to collate this grace thing with 8 and 28, okay, and what Lana said, okay. So, because is the Lord going to give us a test that we can't pass? That's my question. Is the Lord going to give you a test that you can't pass? If it's by grace, and he's a giving God, okay, and Paul had his problem here. I was told once that he got so many revelations from God. God didn't want him getting proud, so he had this thing constantly biting whatever it was. So, and I posed this on Saturday. Is it because we are getting some of these revelations we are getting through UBM, that the same tests are being happening to us so that we could be humbled also? You know, that's one thing I posed on Sunday after you were gone, Michael. And so it's just questions here, you know, questions I don't think we can really think about a good answer for, but you know, I don't think God is hoped to get us, you know, oh, I'm going to make him fail this next step, you know, and because it's, you know, it's a real cool family to be part of, you know, and I think sometimes when we're just thinking too much about studying and stuff, you forget to take the time to reflect on all that you know now and who gave it to you. Because even though if it came out of another person's mouth, and that's why I love this fellowship, and that's why I like the question posed today too, because I knew a lot more was going to come out of it. I don't think anyone believes that those scriptures contradict each other, and I don't think that it was posed that way. And So that's kind of like a question, I guess.
What's the question?
I don't know if I just answered it myself.
I believe you did.
And it's just so mind-boggling that he's giving you something here, and how come, you know, it's just so, you know, like, just to step out on that faith on his word, you know, and get it, you know, like, bang, right on, you know. Forever your word is settled in heaven. That's a new verse for me. For no word of God shall be void of power, you know. And I'm telling you, man, when you just think of these apostles, the power they had when they spoke, and yet, you know, this person is referred to as, his letters are strong, but he's weak in presence. You know, was the humbling working for him? Because he always had this thorn in his flesh, you know, and the Lord was humbling and saying, my grace is sufficient for you. Was he trying to humble him? Because, you don't forget, he was a Pharisee. And sometimes, you know, when you know a lot, like even David Eel said once, when you first become a Christian, you try to tell the most spiritual thing you know to someone, even if it's wrong. It's just so cool. So I renege on my question. It was more of a statement, I guess. It was made into a statement anyway.
But you brought a brand new twist to what Pat was asking and the answers that was given. And that is that does Jesus do this to us, to humble us sometimes? That thorn in the flesh, as you were talking about, I don't know. Probably so in some of us, you know, maybe not. I don't know. That's something for you to ask the Lord about.
That's a good one for next Thursday.
Absolutely. I hadn't even given that one even a thought at all. Okay, Claire. Bless you. We'll see you Thursday. All right. Well, I guess we're out of time, aren't we? I see. Right on the number there. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much for all the great answers that we got tonight. And all the revelations that were brought forth. And Lord, thank you so much for doing that for all of us. And that's something to reflect about. Are you doing this to humble some of us? Could be. I don't know. But Father, you know. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do with us. Give us a good night's sleep tonight. Let us be awakened in the morning with a supernatural, energized body. And Lord, if we can rest it all the way up, ready to go to work for you, Lord. And I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that your protection is upon everybody that believes that he is a believer. That's a disciple of yours, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for answering all of our prayers. We're looking for victory over these trials that come before us, and we praise you because we know that we have it. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in us, in Jesus' name. Well, all right. Good night, y'all.
Logoslav. Good night.
Good night, everybody.